Well, welcome to the roundtable. That was Godsmack Awake, and that's long shots choice tonight. So thanks for that. Wow, where to get started? So the world's pretty much on fire right now. I will say that. Well, we'll talk about it in a second. A couple of admin notes before I bring everybody on stage. First things first, I shut down the storefront today, the Spread Shop store, for a couple of reasons. One, these guys, they were denying. I tried to put the background picture. Let me see if I can. Tried to put that on a mug and get it on the storefront, and they kept denying it. So I'm like, I'm done with them. So I'll order a run through a different vendor and just put them on the storefront on the media group when the site's done next week. So look for that. There we go. Sorry about that. Gentlemen, can you all hear me? We're well within the window of 30 minutes of cursory IT setup. So if you have a mic problem, now's the time to check it. Where to start tonight? Do you want to start with Iran? We should start with Iran. I think we should start with Iran because there's a massive buildup going on sure. in Iran, next to Iran. Who wants to start? Okay, Matt, you're first.
Me?
Yeah, mainly because you're screwing around with your mic. Pete, go ahead. When Matt gets started, Chief, one of you guys just start. Iran.
Yeah, I think there's a, you know, obviously we've got forces. If you look, anyway, if you look at the massing of forces, it's a lot of, you got the carriers going in there, you got the Air Force sending in strike forces. I don't see a lot of or hear a lot about possible follow-on forces, such as ground forces. So that leads to, I don't see a ground invasion, maybe just a kinetic strike, but I don't see a full-blown ground invasion. And, you know, to send in the Marines, you'd have to have amphibious ready groups or, you know, the Marine Expeditionary Forces. I don't see that. So I don't see us going in on the ground unless it's going to be special forces, targeted strikes. But that, of course, that in and of itself is going to present its own dangers. So trying to get them out if something goes sideways. So I think this is more of show of force right now. I mean, hopefully they come to a deal. I don't think we should be in that region right now. I think we've got bigger pressing issues. But of course, we all know that there's other outside forces pushing on the president to conduct a strike. And I think that in and of itself is kind of worrisome. When we have outside forces that are trying to push to have the U.S. government do strikes. So that's my take. I'm trying to keep it a little bit generic in the sense that there's other variables, but I think there's a lot of outside pressure to try to do something to strike there. Matt, what do you think? Matt's having mic issues.
Except that mute thing says.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
I think it's going to be a total clusterfuck. You know, everything is setting us up for a total disaster. The easy quote unquote success in Venezuela, I think, has got the, you know, the bubble around Trump believing that you can do anything with air, just air power. And what does he call it? The fantabularon, the discombobulator. I mean, this is like, you know, Wunderwaffen. You know, it's 1944, but Germany's going to win because we have the wonder weapons coming. It's a disgrace and a disaster. This is like a country that's 10 times bigger than South Vietnam, five times bigger than Iraq, population like, you know, bigger than Germany's, and Tehran's right in the middle of it. So you, it's not like Vietnam, which was a coastal strip country where all of our bombing targets were like 5 minutes from an aircraft carrier that they couldn't touch, right? So all of our Top Gun fantasies are built up over these conditions never going to apply again, where the carrier can just loiter, you know, 100 miles from the coast, and the A4s and F4s go over Vietnam and return in a 1 hour sortie pack. It's nothing like that. Our carriers now have to be like more than 1,000 miles away, which means that their FA-18s have like a minute over the coast and then they've got to go back. So it's all going to be done with Tomahawks, mostly B2s. I'm not even totally convinced B2s were used in the 12 day war, and Trump may even believe they were, but the people that are manipulating him might be totally lying to him too. He might think that things happened that didn't even happen. So I think that if we do this, it's not going to be like the 12 day war, because Iran is the Iranian leadership now is in a totally different mental place than they were then. We started that war, or Israel started that war, with a sneak attack that was more dishonorable by far than Pearl Harbor. Okay. When the Japanese hit Pearl Harbor, they had to sneak all the way across the Pacific with aircraft carriers that could have been discovered at any time. And then before they struck, they had their diplomats in Washington say, negotiations are off. Like, all bets are off. Anything's on the table. We didn't catch that. Maybe, you know, was it our, you know, we were slow on the uptake. December 7th, Sunday morning, there's Japanese planes over Pearl Harbor. But at least everybody knew we were like edging towards the war, and they said negotiations are off. If nobody at Foggy Bottom or the Pentagon, you know, knew who to send that message to, can't blame the Japanese. We were telling the Iranians that on Monday we're going to continue these negotiations. And that weekend, Israel, with our knowledge, had all of these Mossad agents and drone trucks and, you know, all these dirty tricks set up inside of Iran to try to do a decapitation strike on people that were like looking forward to good faith negotiations after the weekend. And we knew what Israel was going to do, and we didn't tell them. So every time I hear about Americans negotiating with Iran or Americans negotiating with Russia, I want to vomit, because that might play on Fox News, but to the rest of the world, Americans negotiating means they're luring you into a trap where somebody can shoot you in the back of the head. So nobody's believing when we say we're negotiating. You know, if you've got a guy strapped to a chair with a gun at his head and you say, you know, sign over power of attorney and adoption papers for your children and your wife, or I'm going to shoot you in the head, you can't call that a negotiation. You know, aircraft carriers off your coast, bombers coming in, refueling planes coming in, we're negotiating. What you're negotiating, either give up on our terms or we're going to kill you. And after the 12-day war, nobody's buying that. And in the rest of the world, we are not the good guys anymore. No. And it's Ramadan. No. See, we might be able to – so we've seen that China – there's a couple levels of this, but China is not only providing satellite ISR and radar. They've got like radar ships all over the place out there, big radar ships networked to Iran – to tell them where our naval assets are. They are in a position now where they have missiles that, if they know the course and speed of an American ship right now, okay, it's not quantum physics. If they've got a hypersonic missile that can go 1,000 miles out in the ocean, but you didn't know where the carrier was, that's one thing, right? You didn't know where the carrier was. You can't just fire at a you know, a 10 kilometer grid square. But if you know 30 seconds ago where it was and its course and speed, you can put a missile on it now. So that the conditions that existed for the 12-day war don't exist anymore. At that time, Iran literally told Russia and China, we can do this on our own. We don't need your help. We don't want, in other words, we don't want America to think that we're like pulling you in. That was before we did the sneak attack over the weekend and killed their negotiating team. Trump even laughed about it. I mean, Trump made a joke about it. He said, oh yeah, their negotiating team. I guess we won't be negotiating with them anymore. Ha ha ha. You can't do these tricks twice. Having like the drone trucks to take out radar sites in Iran to clear the path for aircraft, that trick works once.
Well, another piece of this,
those ground assets now.
Another piece of this, Matt, is that during the riots, it's widely believed now that most of the Mossad ground assets were taken out. So they don't have the same ground assets to begin with that they had prior to the 12-day war. So not only are they handicapped on the ground, but they're handicapped in the air as well as at sea. And
this, just to finish, Trump might have been a great businessman in the 70s, 80s, 90s for like doing real estate deals in Manhattan. His psychology might have been perfect for that, but he knows nothing about the military. And to me, he's like a gambler in Las Vegas that is just keeps pushing in double or nothing. The dealer's going to quit when he sees I keep putting in more chips. The dealer's going to quit. The dealer's not going to quit. The dealer knows what he's got. We're going to run out of defensive armament way before Iran runs out of ballistic missiles.
I was just going to say that.
Tomahawks will be expended. We're going to get planes shot down. It's going to be a total clusterfuck.
Go ahead. Go ahead, bro.
I think we're walking into complete fucking disaster, and it's going to be, like Matt just said, it's going to be the peak empire hubris of empire. I kind of think of like the situation in Gallipoli in Turkey. Wasn't that 1916 for the Brits? I've heard that said in other places that was an example of, their hubris got the best of them. And I think the other thing different than the 12-day war situation now is that the Chinese and the Russians are both visibly aiding the Iranians and putting forces and things in place around Iran.
Yep. We happen to have a couple of Navy guys here that could probably talk through this. I'm just thinking, Scott, what's your thoughts on this?
But just I highly recommend the movie Gallipoli with Mel Gibson. That's where the Empire thought Turks, we show up, overrun them, easy day.
Right.
Well, this is not going to be an easy day. And if you think about it, over the last month since the 12-day war, what has China been doing? They've been backfilling Iran the entire time. One of the biggest things we looked at from the Taiwan-China scenario, China has been modeling and deploying short-range and medium-range ballistic missiles with independent targeted warheads to go exactly after all of our carriers in that same area of conflict. I would guarantee that has been shipped over to Iran, and Iran's just ready to push the button. The carriers are sitting duck.
Yeah, China and the Hormuz Strait is an interesting question because Asia in general, China, Korea, Japan, like 50-60% of their oil, right? So China either has to lean on Iran to say, knuckle under, we got to keep the Hormuz Strait open. Or China's going to say, fuck it. This time, we're not knuckling under. We're going to do this on our terms and let Uncle Sam do his worst.
Well, that or Iran now puts up the gate guard complex, and anything that's going over to Asia or to China or any of their friends, they let them through the straits, and everyone else gets sunk.
Right, and it's a long way to China. You got the Strait of Malacca, submarine alley, all of that. Yep. But then you're talking World War III. But some of the things that happened in Ukraine are now applying. It's sort of like Russia and Afghanistan, and then us in Afghanistan. You know, we supplied Stinger missiles to the Taliban to shoot down Russian helicopters, and then it's like turnabout is fair play. So we're supplying missiles to Ukraine with complete American. The only guy that's a Ukrainian in that van is the guy that pushes the button when he's told by Americans, right? So the ISR and China is now providing these high resolution images, and I'm sure they got much higher, that have every airplane like on every runway, right? Every revetment, all the aircraft where they are right now. Going back to the 67 war, when Israel did a preemptive strike because they said Egypt is about to attack us, and we'd be suckers to just sit here and wait for the Egyptian Air Force to take off. So they played that. It's a defensive move to do a preemptive strike. That was the 67 war, right? It's a preemptive strike, but defensive, because you'd be a sucker just to wait for the whole Egyptian Air Force to take off. So let's hit them first. So right now, China is telling the whole world, Iran knows exactly where every airplane is. Here's 30 F-35s. When the first two move to the taxiway, you know, it's like...
You start smoking them.
Well, I think so. There's two parts to that. So, first of all, my view of this is a lot of posturing.
Yeah, stealth doesn't work on the ground.
Yeah, this is a lot of posturing. I don't see this as Trump wanting to pull the trigger, because he's done this game so many times, right? Pushes forces forward and then pulls back at the last minute.
When he gets a deal. If Iran says, screw you, we're not nothing, you get nothing.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it could go either way, right? He could decide to go in. He could decide not to go in. I definitely know that we don't have the ground forces to be able to carry off anything against a country of 90 million people. Good luck with that.
And not only a country, but it's not like a coastal strip like Vietnam. This is like the mountainous bowl that has defeated all these invaders forever.
Same with Afghanistan. Afghanistan's the asshole of the world.
The exactly graveyard of empires.
Ring by mountains. Yeah. Complete shithole. But I think it's Trump up in the
ante. I'm glitching. I'm gonna jump off and back on.
To get the I think Trump is he's working aggressively to get the regime to capitulate, because somewhere in the conversation, somebody told him that a massive strike wouldn't work, so we need to negotiate, but we should up the ante. So I've heard two different versions of it now. I'm not sure which version I buy into. But I will say, you only disposition this many forces to a COCOM commander if you're getting ready to do something.
You can't back off now. If he backs down now, if Iran calls the bluff and he backs down now, then Trump will look like he's weak, and Trump's ego will not permit that. This is when Trump said that Maduro doing the dance, like the mocking dance, was the final straw. So the Ayatollah's telling Trump, screw you, we're not going to surrender, we're a sovereign country. You know, we don't negotiate with people that shoot negotiators. And remember, we're just thinking about how it's just playing in America and trying to figure out how it's playing in Iran. But around the rest of the world, it's the Olympics, so nothing's going to happen before Sunday night. They're not going to break into the Olympics to say America just launched an attack. So it's not going to happen.
Would surprise me, Matt. Nothing at all.
But I'd be surprised. But it's Ramadan, so you might be able to twist the arm of the leaders in Jordan and Saudi Arabia. But they've got to be really feeling the pain that in their countries, they're looking like step and fetch it lackeys for the great Satan.
Well, they are.
You're allowing your country to be like hosed by a launching aircraft that are going to now get our cities hit.
Well, on that, that's a good segue. So I've talked to probably, I don't know, five or six different military folks this week. All say the same thing. You know, this posturing with Iran is a perfect setup for a green or a false flag.
Yep.
And it's a good time for them to do this mass attack that Stacey Adams and some of these others have been talking about, it's perfect time for that because our forces are all overseas. Our focus is overseas. Our focus is on Epstein. Now is a perfect time. And they've been predictive programming that for what, 3-4 months now?
A couple years.
We can wreck Iran and we can turn off their grid, right? We can cut off their water supply and make the people in their cities totally miserable. But what we can't do is stop missile trucks that are hidden all over Iran from carrying out standing orders. Like if you get this code word, you do not leave your cave until day 30 after hostilities. It's like fail safe. You know, you're on the radio. This is the president. There was a mistake. Your radio was burned up. Please turn around. It's like, no, that's a false. That's a psyop. We've been trained to ignore that. Right. We've been trained to continue to the target. Oh, we're leaking fuel. So we're missing. We can't get the primary, the secondary. What's our tertiary target? Let's nuke that. You know, it's Dr. Strangelove, you know, the George C. Scott. Can they get through? Hell yeah, they'll get through. Well, these missile crews are hardcore fanatical Shiite Muslims. And if they're told your goal is nothing gets through the Hormuz Strait, if your day is day 45, come out of the cave, you see a ship hit it. It doesn't matter if we nuke Tehran. It doesn't matter if, you know, 50 million Iranians are crying and screaming that they've got no food or water. These guys that are, you know, 500 kilometers away in a cave somewhere eating MREs, when they open that sealed order, it says your day is day 29. They're going to abide by that. We, on the last days of Desert Storm, not Desert Storm, Desert Storm, we were doing the big Scud hunt. Scuds had to be were liquid fueled, and their CEP was like kilometers, right? They had to erect fuel, which took like most of an hour to get ready, and we never stopped them. They were firing Scuds at Israel and Saudi Arabia as the ceasefire was called. We never stopped their Scuds from being fired. What they have in Iran now is 100 times more accurate. And they're solid fueled, so they can roll, you know, from large to small. They're truck mobile, hiding in warehouses, under bridges, in caves, moving all around. With the Russians and Chinese now telling them, when are American satellite passes happening? Yep. So it's like, right now, move your truck. You got 10 minutes clear, whoosh, to another hiding place. So we're not going to be able, with air power, to just put out all of these missile trucks to extinguish them.
I don't think that's the point, Matt.
But until that, they close the Strait of Hormuz as long as they want.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I am saying, though, I don't think that's a primary target. I think the primary targets will be the leadership and leadership centers and centers of gravity. That's what I would do.
In Iran.
But that
won't stop the missile trucks from carrying out standing orders.
Realize that. But anytime you plan an op, what's the first thing you do? You plan for collateral damage and second and third order effects. You just assume you're going to have those no matter what you do.
So we don't have a plan for the Strait of Hormuz is closed. World economy crashes.
I bet it's true.
Oil goes to $300 a gallon. Countries say, we're broke. We can't
afford. Well, remember, we have Venezuela to get our oil from now.
That doesn't work. You can't. That's like this. That's like silver mines. It that stuff is tar in the ground. It's hypothetical oil.
Hey man, Dan Bongino's on the job. He's ready to go. Well, what do you think the likelihood is of a false flag here with all that going on, especially right now?
I mean, like a terror attack in America.
Uh huh.
They got to wait till Nancy Guthrie finally gets found so Savannah Guthrie can go and boo-hoo on TV, and then the false flag will happen right after that.
Isn't that a total joke what our media is covering that for like 3 weeks?
Hey, remember in the 80s, you know, there'd be a hurricane and they'd cover that for like, you know, a month. And now a hurricane happens, wipes out a bunch of people, and they get like 48 hours. Then you're done. Off to something else. But this, 3 weeks of this, yeah. it's done. Yeah. I bring up the false flag because I've had so many conversations about it just the last 2 days. And it just seems like we're primed for that kind of an attack.
And anybody can do it. We absolutely could do it. Israel could do it. You never know who's going to do it.
Well, we know who's going to do it. We already know who's going to do it. But they need public opinion. Come on. You know who's going to do it. I know who's going to do it.
But it's not provable. I mean, it's all going to be, you know, it'll look like the Iranians did it, and then it'll be blamed, you know.
And all the lemmings will flock to the recruiting stations.
No, I don't, not this time. I don't think this is 9/11 again. I don't think that happens.
It's not, but, you know, that's, remember, we're dealing with people that are completely divorced from reality. So they still think they have public opinion. And they probably have some of it, but yeah.
But the white Chads are completely burned out on this. The ones that they need, the southern white boy, he's like already saying, screw that, I'm not going back to the Middle East. You know, my brother fought in Fallujah, and he said, if you join the Marines, I'll kill you. Do not join the Marines. You know, that military heritage legacy has been burned to the ground. What are they going to get? The Portland Antifas to join the military? No. There's nobody left. I mean, in Europe, they're talking about, and in Canada, they're talking about hiring foreign soldiers to join their military, fast-track Canadian citizenship for Indian and Chinese soldiers. And the same thing in Germany. They've got nobody left that'll join their military.
Well, the Canadians have just capitulated to China and India, and they're going to onboard all of the Chinese PLA as well as the Indians. So they're going to have a full army here, probably 6 months.
I think the best way we can solve the Marine recruiting program is we find a trans group that loves to eat crayons, and we just sign them up because Marines eat crayons. So there you go. Free crayons for everybody. Sure. Come on in and, you know, crayon away.
I think that we're just like looking for an excuse to burn down the world financial system. And it doesn't matter if it's Ukraine. It doesn't matter. Finland and Sweden are going to false flag Russia and get it going in the Baltic overseas in quote unquote ghost ships. Freaking Ireland is talking about dropping commandos onto Russian ships. I mean, the world is like completely gone haywire.
Well, they need a war. They need a war. So they've, and again, this, let me answer. So two things I want to answer out of this. So I invariably every show I get all the shills and the griefers that are like, well, if you're such a badass, why don't you start the conflict? The point is we're still in an information war, right? They're still trying to use the information war to incite people to violence. We didn't take the bait for number one, for the Civil War. We didn't take the bait for revolution. We didn't take the bait with Epstein and all the disclosures around that to go after the politicians and the key leadership. We didn't take the bait to go full scale into Ukraine. We didn't take the bait to go in, you know, and push to go into Venezuela. They don't have the same reach they had before. So they're trying, they're throwing literally everything at the board to see what's going to stick. And so far, nothing stuck. Why? Because the entire fucking planet is so sick of this endless war game. Yep. I hear it all the time, right? Like, who's going to go fight the war for him? I'm not going to do it. If I get a recruiting notice, I'm going to leave. I'm not going to stay here.
Or just tear it up. Just tear it up. Say, no, I'm running a Somali daycare, and you know, where's my million? The country's a joke. So the only escalation that's going to really matter at this point, because people don't care what they see on television. Gaza gets leveled like Dresden. Very few people give a shit. Or no. They flip past that channel as fast as they can. So what you see on TV doesn't matter. It won't matter till the lights go out and everything in the refrigerator is rotten and the ATM doesn't work. So one of the big power moves we'll probably do in an air war against Iran is try to take out their power grid. We have these graphite film bombs that we can drop over power plants, and it like puts all these conductive filaments all over the power plant. So it's not a kinetic kill, like you got to rebuild the power plant, but it's going to be out for a couple of weeks. We did this at the beginning of Iraq. It's going to be out for a couple of weeks until you sweep everything out, vacuum everything out. Right. So we're going to turn off their power grid. I guarantee you there's Iranians in this country thinking they do that, we're turning out your power grid. And that was the Metcalf. The Metcalf power station was a proof of concept mission. I think most likely Iranians, some Iranian colonel who's like, you know, number 20 at the table said, you know, if you can't get the nukes and you can't get the missiles that can hit, I can turn out America's power. And they said, prove it on your little budget. He does Metcalf. So the same night they take out a fiber optic station, they do all this, get away with it clean. And the guy says, I can do that times 100 anytime you tell me. So we are the man going, we are the guy, the maniac going around throwing bricks through people's windows. But we live in a glass house. So far, nobody ever got close to our house. We thought our security was perfect. So we live in a glass house, and we like going around the world throwing bricks through windows. And now people are here. I mean, just under Biden, how many Chinese and how many Hezbollah just walked across the border?
You know, if you think about it, it's the perfect setup for the Sarah Adams, you know, situation that she's been pumping out for 2 years. I mean, it creates the perfect motive. Okay, we take out the Iranian grid. Now they have the perfect motive to take out our grid, or something like that.
Or we take it out and blame it on them.
Yes, absolutely.
That's exactly what I was saying. We know who's going to do it, right? Because the CIA has been telling us for 3 years. If something really bad happens, don't blame us.
Because no matter what, unless it's like an aircraft carrier capsized, right? It'll just be another game show thing on TV. Flip the channel. People will only care. Well, a carrier might do it, or even a destroyer, you know, cat blown to pieces. In the Falklands War, a couple of British ships got, you know, destroyed. Also in, what was it? The accidental Exocet missile hit a American destroyer, but it was like not part of a war that was in the Persian Gulf. What was the name of that ship? Anyway, a ship with, you know, hundreds and thousands or a thousand American casualties, and they're females now. So you've got like Sally with her face burned off. That's going to be very emotional. But will people blame Iran or will people blame Trump for being an asshole and starting this war?
Hard to say. I think public opinion is swayed against not just public opinion is swayed not just against, you know, Trump and his cabinet, but it's swayed against all of the political elite, right? This whole, and I said this a long time ago, it bears repeating, right? When people start seeing the real disclosures come out around what these people have been doing with, you know, with Epstein and what they've really been doing to children, it's going to shift the narrative. It's already shifted, right? Now, get away from the left and the Democrats playing their part of saying Trump's a racist. We have him on tape, blah, blah, blah. Never mind the Clintons. Never mind anybody else in the files. And get away from that. Once people really see some of these tapes come out where it shows that they've really been, you know, torturing children, there's not going to be public support for any government, period. And you're already seeing it overseas. You're seeing people, you know, walk away. I think this whole Andrew arrest today, that's just a token, because they arrested him for what they arrested for, misconduct and
malfeasance. Yes.
So not for raping children. No, not for that. It was state secrets that you gave up to Epstein. So I'm not worried about him, but it's
not the whole world's elites, it's the West. And I don't know what the Chinese have been doing. I know Mao Zedong apparently had like the harems and, you know, procurers and all of that. You know, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
It's organ harvesting. That's what's going on.
And now organ harvesting, right. But Putin has been, you know, at least the statements he make are like, no LGBT, no trans. We're not doing that in this country. I posted on the Signal group. You look up the Russian military cathedral. Imagine America making an American military cathedral for all the war heroes, a military cathedral with a cross on top. This is why the neocons hate Putin now. He's not allowing the transing of our kids, of his kids. He's not on board with all that. They're now holding up in China, in Russia, they're holding, and in Iran, they're holding up Epstein as these are the satanic devils that we're against. Their country's leaders, you know, are cannibals and pedophiles.
Perfect, perfect information campaign handed right to them. Yep. I mean, my God, right on a silver platter. Look, everyone's a pedophile. Yeah. It just, the disgusting part about all of it.
Everybody
is,
in the West, not, I'm sure China's doing terrible things, but the information campaign is, this is London. This is New York. You know, this right. is the West. Decadent yeah. in Russian. I was one of those. I remember these phrases. Что это декаденство? What is decadence? You know, that we, the West, it used to be, oh, we're like the rich guys are driving limousines and eating caviar. That was bad enough, you know, because the Russians were in bread lines waiting 10 years for a car. But now it's like we're eating kids.
Don't be surprised. New York has that now. They opened their first city-run grocery store. So, you know, that's going to go well.
Oh, yeah. Thank God for the federal system. You can still get out to Florida or I don't know about Texas, but anyway.
Texas will be a Muslim country inside of 5 years.
Until we go kinetic, until it's like Franco and Pinochet time. We're not voting our way out of this.
Nope, we are not. All right, so Chief, you haven't said anything. Pete, you haven't said anything. Now is your opportunity.
I got a question for you. So it's Colonel Watkins. Is that who you've been doing the podcast with?
Yeah, Tanner Watkins, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so she mentioned Papadopoulos, I think the last one.
Yeah.
Have you been following where he's been and what he's been doing the past week?
I have not. What's he been doing for the last week?
He's back in Russia, and he's been working on getting Russia to break off of the BRICS. From what I saw on the interview that he did.
Yeah, I don't think that, I think that that's, a lot of that is propaganda and psyops. Like, it's a great way for JP Morgan to like pump the stocks this way. Oh, Russia's breaking off from the BRICS. You know this is going to happen 2 hours before it happens, right? Because you make all your big market moves, and you put this news out. Russia's breaking off from the BRICS. Bond market goes crazy. You're already positioned. And then it turns out, oh, that was just a psyop. And you've predicted that reverse is going to happen, and you move it again. You know, it's like with silver. It's like all these banks with the big exposed short positions, they have to drive it way up this way so they can get out at the right time so they can eliminate their shorts by countering their moves. They know everything that's going to happen ahead of time. So when you hear stuff like Russia is getting out of the BRICS, I see that completely as the banksters are front running the mob. You know, they know that as soon as we make this announcement on business news, markets will do this. But we've already moved our chips. And then the next day, oh, they're not. And we've already moved our chips. I don't fall for any of that stuff. I think it's BS.
That's fair. I only brought it up because it was a topic of conversation.
Yeah, but George Papadopoulos, one thing I will say for him, he has a smoking hot wife. You've seen her. Like swimsuit model, like, you know.
I just see this whole scenario with Iran, with Sir Adams type attacks, with the Epstein files, everything I see lining up to create just total chaos and disaster for the United States.
Well, remember, they want to execute all lines of operation at the same time, right? Maximum confusion, maximum destruction. I don't disagree with that.
And it seems to me like Trump doesn't give a damn about the midterms now.
Yeah.
His thinking is very short term now.
Yeah. If we're wartime, it won't matter probably.
No. Pete, you haven't said anything. I want to give you a chance to talk.
Yeah, no, thanks for that. The thing that I've been pondering on is how many tens of millions of Americans are switched on enough to know that everything they see coming over the cable is bad, et cetera, et cetera. Exactly. And think about the downstream effect of what that is when, and I'll use the village's housing development, which is a wrong way of calling it, but use it as an example. I mean, you got a group of people, they're largely in their last third or last quarter of their lives. And they still believe, because that's kind of what villages are. It's a place where you can still be in America kind of thing. And it's nice being there. But when the lights go out, when the hospitals go tits up, when the telephone lines go off, when the communication satellites go kablooey, when the drugstore doesn't have that cardiac pill anymore, and all of these other second and third stage problems, I don't think that there's any significant amount of resurrection's not the right word, governmental support for that group of people that, you know, had families, raised kids, raised grandkids, saved their money, tried to be nice, all that kind of stuff. There's going to be 100 million people at least losing their minds when this thing really gets revved up. And yeah. I don't see any way how it doesn't get revved up.
Yeah, with the pharma, the psychological drugs, they only give people like a 30-day
psychotropics.
Psychotropics. You only get a 30-day supply. So when that's out, there's no more pharmacy.
Exactly.
So you're going to have a lot of people that are, you know, we used to have like 20 times more people in mental institutions. When we had half our population, we had 500,000 people in insane asylums. Now you have very few in insane asylums, and many are going to work and driving.
That's because they're all in Congress. That's why. You
know, but they're taking, I'm not talking about I'm not talking about Adderall. I'm talking about antipsychotic drugs.
Oh, I know. They're all in Congress.
When they are off of that, they're going to be losing their minds all around the same time when they're in more stress than they've ever been in their lives, because there's no power, no ATM, no gas station. And so the villages might be one thing, but imagine the hood, you know, imagine the hood when there is no food.
Well, yeah. Think about it from a dependent society. So we had a big earthquake in Hawaii when I was out there, and the power went out for 24 hours. And the place literally came unglued.
Yep.
It was insane. It's like, dude, you're on an island. It's 75 degrees. You have fruit grown in the backyard. Yep. But the gas station can't pump gas. And this dependent society that most of Hawaii is went absolutely batshit.
Yeah, that won't end well.
We've turned
and, I just drop to end my part is, we've got a country full of folks like that. And I'm not being, you know, abusive of them, but I've seen it. I've seen what's happened. And
they're conditioned into that expectation, that normalcy bias.
Bingo. Mm-hmm. And they have no alternative coin. So
they can't imagine the turn the water tap and nothing comes out.
Blissfully unaware. That's right. Perfect.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah. Starving in the dark with no running water. That's going to be
my EBT card not working.
And after Gaza, after Ukraine, Uncle Sam, you know, the love of around the world for Uncle Sam has been severely depleted.
Oh, absolutely.
So a lot of people are going to say you had it coming.
Eddie, thanks for that. And by the way, you're right. Eddie in the super chat said, don't underestimate how brainwashed the normies are. Very true. Mm-hmm. I deal with them every day. And I will tell you, the farther you get towards Europe, the more brainwashed they really are. It is fucking shocking how brainwashed they are, because they, my God, some of the shit that comes out of their mouth, I'm like, you have no idea what's in your own country. Like, case in point, on a call with like 50 people today and working through some kind of migration, I wasn't really paying attention. And before the call started, somebody was talking about Trump and how bad Trump is, and you know, he's moving all these people out. And I just kept my mouth shut. I'm just listening. And one of the other guys from the UK is like, yeah, our country's not that bad as people think it is. And then military guy that I work with, he could not help himself. He's like, okay, all those Muslims you've imported and turned how many cities now into Muslim countries? Good luck with that. They only bring two things, slavery and death. And you get more slavery and more death when they take over. So good luck with that.
Yeah. And
silent.
And British, ethnic British men, like under 30, are now outnumbered by Muslim men.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, you can't count the old folks, the British boomers. They don't matter. And the what matters is fighting age men, and the British are now outnumbered. That's why they're talking about fast tracking them into the military. It's like, are you kidding?
Well, they need an army, right? And they need an army that's not loyal to Canada. They need an army that's not loyal to the UK.
Or so Ireland. What's
a good way to do it? You bring in all the PLA that's already there, you put them in uniform, and you just let them have at it.
Hessians.
You know, kind of like a UN peacekeeping force. It's kind of the same shit.
Yeah.
Well, I think Bracken wrote that in book 3.
Time to rape and pillage with a light blue helmet on.
Yeah, they're going to
think you're the good guy.
Or they won't even have a light blue helmet. They'll be in a Virginia National Guard uniform.
Shit, I remember doing shows where like, if I see a goddamn blue helmet, I'm going to shoot at it.
They're not going to. The UN's not going. There's no landing craft with UN soldiers. They're going to be in a Montana National Guard uniform. You know, 2 weeks from Pakistan. So it's going to be hard to sort them out. It's going to be, you know, linguistic stuff like give them a trick that only an American will know the right answer. And if they don't answer right, you shoot them.
The only thing you have to do is have them do jumping jacks. Because if you haven't seen Afghan jumping jacks, you will absolutely laugh your head off.
It's the funniest thing
I've ever seen.
Yep. Who's the third baseman for the Yankees? That was the kind of stuff for the Japanese, right? But yeah, it's going to be a total cluster muster, and America will probably do better than Europe. Europe is already so much further down this road, and you know, there's no way they vote back AFD in Germany. Look at Spain; they just unilaterally declared more than a million Africans. So now they're doing like a Mayorkas in Spain. Now the boats are just coming over freely. Straight into Spain. I mean, if that's not a position where loyal generals would walk in and take out the traitor president, then you have no Franco. Mm-hmm. You're waiting for a Franco, and Franco is just nodded off or on vacation. But it's only going to be solved with Francos in Europe, and I don't see it. So the only one thing about this is, I don't think it'll all happen at the exact same time, unless we totally go to war with Iran and everybody's power goes out. But if you know, we see Germany having and France having Bataclan massacres every day, you know, Mumbai type massacres every day, then in the countries that are not as bad, leaders will rise and say, we can't let that happen in Ireland. We can't let that happen in America. Look at what's happening in France and Germany. We've got to stop it before it gets here. And that means mosques are closed. Sorry. No Muslim praying in public, because we saw what happened just, you know, the last 6 months in Germany and in France. And we're not so suicidally empathetic that we're going to just continue, you know, worshiping or protecting the rights of Muslims when everybody in the world understands they use us as a Trojan horse, get inside. And then it's Bataclan every day. You know, and I'm like a one note Johnny on Twitter posting these pictures of containers full of guns. I mean, do you think all these military age men that came from war zones don't know the difference between a man with an AK-47 and a British guy with a cricket bat? They do understand. They have got the weapons.
Well,
they're just waiting for the breakout.
They're waiting for the go message. Yeah, they've already been. I can confirm that there's definitely Connexus full of weapons here. I can confirm that all along the borders. in parts of the Midwest. I know that for a fact, that those have been found and that those have been, let's just say, cataloged. But suffice it to say, those are the ones that they know about, that there's a right. whole swath that people don't even know about. And I view this whole situation as, I view it two ways. Number one, I think I'll stay away from Trump. But number one, I think that they're going to hit us with all lines operation all at the same time. I've thought that since day one. And they're going to hit us with infrastructure issues. They're going to hit us with logistical issues. They're going to hit us with a mass attack, and they're going to distribute it all over the U.S. It'll be exactly what Stacey Adams says. It'll be these small kill teams that have been activated to go in and create maximum amount of confusion. I think the cartels are going to be used to go after the first responders. I think they're going to lure first responders into a massive event and then attack the first responders to create the maximum amount of chaos. And they're going to do this shit all at once.
But so much of our modern life is depending on existing in a high trust society. They've had several train derailments in Spain and Germany recently. Train derailments, especially when you're talking about these trains that are going like 250 kilometers, these high speed trains, it don't take much, right? And they're passenger trains flying off the rails at high speed. Where if you have containers are going all around the world basically on an honor system. It's not like they open the doors of a container, unload everything to inspect every box, and then load it again. So you can have a container that's gone through five different countries switching ships with the papers being finagled. It can be in the port of Long Beach and have, you know, a 10-ton explosive, like basically a daisy cutter, going off in the middle of 10,000 containers in Long Beach or Charleston. So, and that port will be wrecked for months, straightening that out and not knowing what the next container is going to blast off. Now you do have to open every container and look in every container. And what does that do to the velocity of trade? Cripples it.
I've got this idea. You guys made me think of this. That occurred to me is that I see several possible scenarios for the Sarah Adams thing. And I think the thing that we've been all talking about is the idea of a false flag or green flag designed to get us, you know, motivated to go to like a World War II footing against Iran. But the one thing that occurred to me listening was, what if, okay, let's say Mossad and CIA have something like that planned, but what if all the cartels and the ISIS and the Al-Qaeda and all the other terrorist groups that have come in decide to piggyback on it and go sure. for total destruction of the U.S.
Dogpile. Right. Get them while you're down. Because, dogpile.
Yeah, because I could see, and then also I deeply suspect the Israeli motives. You know, I've seen things in the last week that suggest that the Israeli plan is really actually to destroy us. I don't know if I agree with that or not, but I mean, you look at the genocidal immigration going on and everything else, there's certainly an argument to be made for that case.
And well, wait a second. One of the biggest NGOs that supported that was a Jewish NGO.
Yes, absolutely. So, Hayes, so what I'm getting at is they could, you know, we're discussing it like it's a false flag, green flag set up for a greater, bigger war in Iran, but it could actually be a setup for just absolute mayhem, chaos, take the U.S. grid out and take us down. You know, you guys have heard of the Kegel report? The Kegel. There was a report that came out that predicted by 2025, the United Deagle. States was going to drop.
Deagle, yeah, Deagle. That was the Deagle.
Deagle. It was going to drop to 110 million. And I mean, that this by scenario we're talking right? about, right, it was 25, but close enough. I mean,
if our electricity goes out, it won't matter if it was a comet,
right?
Or if it was an EMP, or if it was Hezbollah teams. And there are so many Americans, you know, the purple-haired Antifa types, even though they're born American citizens and vote in our elections, they think America is the big obstacle to world socialism.
Oh, that's because they're retarded.
But they think that American power has to be smashed down to where we're like between Argentina and South Africa.
Yeah, I think the Russians just call them useful idiots.
I just want to finish this last point. So what I'm thinking is that we need to make sure with our scenarios that we're not self-limiting our scenarios to only thinking about the context of Iran war. I think that we could be on the verge of just cataclysmic problems. I mean,
and that's why everybody has to, the only thing that you can do other than be a millionaire and move to Uruguay, okay, and get a ranch, realistically within the United States of 48 states, it goes back to my Civil War II cube from like 15-20 years ago. Yeah, it's going to suck everywhere in America, okay? But rural Florida is going to be way better than a really nice suburban neighborhood of Chicago, right? That's like an enclave of white, happy days, but you're surrounded by the ghetto, and you've got your, I remember that family where the husband and wife, they walked out with an AR-15 and kept the
Missouri, people from
marching through their house. They were actually like do-gooders that had rehabbed like a 1900 mansion, like a money pit. It's like, we'll put our own $1 million into restoring a money pit. It doesn't matter that it's close to the hood. We're going to be a shining example. Look what they got out of that. So you got to move as far away from that as possible. Idaho, Florida, and not even like Orlando. You got to be in a place where you got your own water and they grow food.
Idaho.
Because but there might be a period where the trucks aren't bringing food.
Idaho is just as Boise, Idaho is just as liberal as Seattle is. Yep. All those California retards have moved up there. You drive through the place, it's nothing but blue haired, nose ringed retards, long haired beta fucking cocks that you just want to go, God, get your man card back.
But that's not
a safe place. Montana? But you're going to freeze your ass off.
Talking about mega agriculture where you got 100,000 acres of soybeans. And if they don't get their fertilizer and their pesticides and their Monsanto seeds, it's a desert like in 1 year. But in places with like mixed agriculture and cattle raising and, pigs and sheep, they might be reduced 90% in their agricultural output. So farming counties that used to make a profit by selling to people that would put it in the silo on the train to take it to another city in another state, if their output is reduced 90%, the city a state over has no food. But if their output is reduced 90%, that county where the farm is doesn't starve. Okay, they got no fertilizer, very little diesel. Their output is reduced 90%. They're not making a profit selling to a city 500 miles away. They can still feed that county. You need to be where they grow food. And if I have to survive off of what I can grow in my backyard, I will definitely starve. But I'm living in a place where people grow food and it rains and there's groundwater. If you're in Las Vegas and this happens, you're just going to die.
Well, there's no water in Vegas. There's nothing.
Or Phoenix. There. Phoenix.
Yep. Yeah, I'm well aware, Matt. Thanks for reminding me. You're fucked.
But you'll be in the 100-mile gridlock. Everybody heading to Santa Fe. And what's in Santa Fe?
I wouldn't go to New Mexico.
Everybody's heading out of Phoenix. But where do you go to when the whole thing gridlocks?
Well, there's places here you can go that you can grow food and there's water. It's just not Phoenix, right? And but luckily I'm a pilot, so. Chances are I could probably fly my way out of here with, a small bag and an attitude if I have to, but that's not the optimum solution. So,
you just need to call me because our bug out scenarios, we take all 5 PC-12s and the Conquest 2s and everything, fill them up, grab everybody we love and go to Costa Rica. And
all right, we'll be talking after this. We'll be talking after this.
Yeah.
And you know what they're going to say in Costa Rica? Come on down, gringo. Mm-hmm. As long as you got some silver and gold.
Okay. We've been doing this Iran thing for an hour. I want to open this up for the whole Pam Bondi conversation last week and get your opinion on, you know, my view of that last week, like I said, was one of three scenarios. Now that a week's gone by, do you think people have forgotten about it, or do you think it's actually impacted the midterms, you know, assuming you still believe in voting and that there's two aisles, you know, two sides of the aisle? Do you think that that still has resonates in the public center?
Yes, and I think Trump's going to be heckled at the State of the Union over it, and it's going to flip him out. Because Melania film was produced by a guy who was like Me Too'd as a pervy rapist, and he had Epstein connections. So the Melania film, and that's where if you want to really make Trump freak out, go after Melania, right? And connect her to Epstein. So at the State of the Union, he gets heckled, and it's like, what about Melania and so-and-so, who's, he's going to lose his mind. I think he's just digging a deeper and deeper hole. He can't let it all out because a lot of it will come to his friends, Lutnick, et cetera.
Yep. Well, basically all his billionaire class donors. For me, I think Pam Bondi, that was a nail in the coffin. So people have a long memory when it comes to that bad of an optic.
Yeah.
But the general public, I mean, shit, they don't care. It's like, hey, oh, the view's on. Let's watch that. Because we need to know what Whoopi Goldberg wants. Yeah. Oh, wait, she's in the Epstein file.
Hey, did they get that DNA off of Nancy, the glove they found when down the road from Nancy Guthrie's house?
Exactly.
Breaking news.
Well, let's not forget about Skinnyapolis as well. I mean, all that fraud is kind of disappeared as well.
Well, ICE got run out of Minneapolis, so, you know, that's
shameful.
The liberals consider that a victory.
Well, then you go back to their Learing Center and figure it out.
Yeah. Hey, look, I have to go now. I could only do 1 hour tonight, but I really wanted to do that Iran part because I think that we are on the verge of something that's going to make Vietnam look like a skirmish, potentially, not in a good way.
Nope.
You know.
Cool. Thanks for jumping in, Matt.
Thanks for getting on.
I'll see you on the signal.
Have a good night.
Good night.
I think Murray must have jumped out or ran to check on his dogs or something.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree with you, Snow, about Flake about the Pam Bondi thing. I think that's the nail in the coffin for Trump. If he doesn't do massive changes.
No, if you're not going to roll anybody up and actually, if the UK rolls somebody up before you do, you're doing something wrong, because the UK doesn't roll anybody up. So I think this Prince Andrew thing, even though it's not, quote, related, is just another slap in the face to this administration that is trying to bury this and put it under the rug. But we're never going to let it go. It's like, you hurt kids, you know, you go to the bottom of the ocean, end of story, or in the wood chipper, then to the bottom of the ocean, or get dropped out of an airplane at 3,000 feet into a wood chipper and then into the ocean.
Damn.
I like you.
That's sweet. That takes skills that you've got, though.
Well, my standard CEP is about, you know, 5 to 8 feet. So I think if I make the funnel on the wood chipper a little bigger, I'd probably be able to hit it right.
I can hook you up.
Did we lose Matt? Think,
yeah, Matt cut out. He said he could only make it an hour.
Okay.
I think with the whole Pam Bondi thing, obviously, you know, Flake, I agree with you. And I think everybody that if something's not done, it's pretty bad when they throw, Andrew under the bus. So I think we're kind of at a point right now where if there are no arrests, then what was the whole point of this in this exercise? You know, and
the answer to that is two things, right? Did you guys hear about the Palantir hack yesterday?
Yeah, so, Kim.com.
Yeah, Kim.com released a thing saying that Palantir got hacked and that they've been collecting blackmail material via technical means. That would explain the why, right? The why Epstein came out now. That would explain why we have the other part of that. If you didn't see it, go out to it's at kim.com, D-O-T-C-O-M-M. That post also talks about genetic experiments to go after the Russians. It also talks about blackmail material, all those things that we've been watching for the last 12 months, why Ukraine hasn't ended, all of those, because they think they've got a kill shot weapon biologically. And by the way, the same guy that was working with DOD is now the Undersecretary of Biological Warfare under under Pete Hegseth, the same guy that was managing the COVID stuff. So you can see where this is going. They're developing kill shot weapons to go after the Russians. And it would explain why we're delaying. It would also explain why they throw this in the public eye to keep people distracted on this for a year. Because this shit, they could string this out 2 years. 2 years of this shit before they actually do anything. Yeah, they don't care if we look like, you know, clowns to the rest of the world. They could care less. What they care about is achieving their aims. And I get the strong sense that the oligarch class that is behind this is trying to see this through before they all pass away. That's really what it seems like to me. Like they have a concerted agenda to make this shit happen, to create this uber state before they all die.
Like, I don't even think they think they're going to die. I think they actually think because of the technology that's available today, that it's going to prolong their life. Like once they pass, they're going to be put in cryogenic type state. And then eventually they're going to come back out, and they've been promised by some of these oligarchs and some of the technology companies and probably companies we've never even heard of to basically prolong their life. And they're going to put them somehow, they're going to be able to transfer what is left of them into another where it's basically they're going to live for a long time. And if you look at this, you know, Sean Ryan just did a show, and I'm bringing this up because one of the guys on there, I've had some really good conversation with him. I've known him, Jeremy, Ryan Slate, and he's a historian, and he brings up the whole Praetorian Guard. I think right now, in my opinion, what we're seeing is there is a battle between what was the Praetorian Guard and then the people that developed tech that are now trying to take over as the new Praetorians of the Guard. Think about it. If you have Palantir that has what? Taken over, and they're releasing information, and you have people that are in the old Praetorian Guard saying, okay, wait, how do they get this information? Oh, that's right. Everybody uses a damn cell phone, right? And they're going through, and they're able to use the Palantir systems to dig up this information. So we're watching what I'm seeing is we're seeing kind of a fight behind the scenes of the Praetorian Guard that was and the Praetorian Guard that is trying to take over.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think that the tech bros have figured out how to monopolize on power and to take power. So I think that's they're in the process of trying to do that. I definitely think this transhumanist thing is a big deal to them, right? It is to Peter Thiel. He's publicly said, we're not going far enough. We need to be able to regrow organs. We need to be able to pharmaceutically regress age, I think is the way he said it. Or age regression, pharmaceutical age regression was the way it was said, which means they probably already got it, or they're close to a concoction that can do that. Because they've said within the next 5 years, they'll be able to age regress people to a specific age and keep them at that age. So imagine being 25 or 30, right? And look, I think my honest opinion is if you pass away as an oligarch right now, you're just going to be a frozen torpedo at some point. You're not coming back. Yep. Like what incentive would, if I'm Mark Zuckerberg and I'm an alien motherfucker like him, what incentive do I have to bring back Marian Adelson or Les Wexner? Zero. Not bringing him back. Put him in the photon torpedo tube, launch him into space. Love you. Got a thing. Right? I don't see them coming back. But I do see people like Peter Thiel being age regressed to like 20 or 25 and being around for a very long time. That would be very dangerous. Just saying. That would I like to be 25 or 30 again? Absolutely.
Or like say we get Nancy Pelosi and we age her back to like 80 and then let her do all the stock picks for all of us and we, you know, gross 2,500% on everything we invest.
Only if she wears a bikini.
Oh God.
Oh, thank God.
I don't need that visual in my head.
I'm there to help dietary intake.
You know, there was a movie, you were talking about the transhumanism and the different things where they're talking about pharmaceutically or medically doing different things. And, you know, I brought the cryogenic chambers because, you know, if you ever been around medical people, they'll talk about, well, you know, that's kind of the future where they want to be able to freeze organs or freeze certain things or, hey, maybe even in the future, maybe prolong a life. Like say somebody needs to go into surgery, you're bleeding out. You know, their whole reasoning is if somebody comes in for surgery, you can put them into this cryo chamber, you crank it up and it basically halts anything that's going on at that time until they can come up with a solution to fix it or they think they're ready to fix it. And there was a movie, it came out, man, I'm trying to remember the name of the movie. It was a while back. I think maybe it was in the 2000s. It was with Ewan McGregor. He played Obi-Wan Kenobi when they were started doing the reboots of Star Wars.
Yeah, episode 4.
And what it was is he was in this series where they basically, I can't remember the female's name. They lived in society and it was kind of like a silo, like a closed-in facility. And him and the female, they finally decide they want to try to figure out how to get out.
It's called The Island.
Okay, yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's called The Island.
And yeah, and basically he finds out he's a clone of a billionaire. And when the billionaire, because the billionaire has, I think, like hepatitis or something like that, hepatitis C, when he needs new organs, because one of them's failing, they come in and they harvest it out of him. Or another clone like him. So I you know, and we've talked about the whole, sometimes Hollywood tells you what they're gonna do ahead of time. If we see a lot of these movies, you can see a lot of that where they're kind of projecting things that they see happening in the future. Which is, you know, I guess what do you call that? Controlled messaging?
It all started with Walt Disney.
Yeah.
I mean, wasn't he one of the first to go into cryogenic sleep or cryogenic stasis? Yeah.
I just don't see it happening. I don't see us getting there. I think that we're going to go into some, you know, culmination of events like Murray's mentioned. And these billionaires are smoking, they're high on crack if they think they're going to get to be living to infinity with, unless they're able to get their 15-minute cities established and create the brave new world they want. I don't see it happening. We're going to devolve into chaos.
They've had a long time to work on that. I mean, how long has Disney been dead?
You know? 60 years.
Yeah. That's a lot of research time and money.
I mean, I know the signs around here in Tampa when they were rebuilding the downtown Tampa area, right there on the fences around the construction sites before they were putting up the high rises, everything was, you can walk 15 minutes to wherever you have to go. Everywhere. I took pictures of it. I was like, I can't believe this shit. And this was, 8 years ago, 7 years ago. I'm like, holy shit, this is actually for real. And it was right here in Tampa. But then Tampa's a blue city, an actual blue city.
Yeah, I assume the enemy's, you know, 2 to 5 years ahead of us.
Exactly. 2 to 5 years, well, with their plan.
Execute, yeah.
And they're still talking about it in Europe. I mean, we see Ursula Andress. She's out there in Europe spouting her shit. You got Mark Carney up in Canada. Why? Because he can't admit that Canada needs the United States. Everything about with him was very narcissistic, and that you need us when we've been basically providing all their security for since World War II.
He's a WEF retard. So, okay, coming up on hour and a half, I'm going to wrap this up. Any closing thoughts on either Iran, Pam Bond, the downstream effects of Pam Bondi, predictions for tomorrow night, or Tuesday night, sorry, tomorrow night? Anyone?
Bueller? I think that we're going to see conflict start in Iran this weekend, so at some point, or at least prior to next week. And I read a really interesting thing. I think it was Sir Financealot on Twitter talking about everything always happens before when they have the options expiration dates. And I thought it was an interesting thing. If you look at the timing of 9/11, you know, they always front run all these events financially, and they'll have massive amounts of leverage and options, put options placed in advance to take advantage of them. And I don't think we can ignore that. So I think that there's a good possibility of things happening soon.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. You have the puts in, and then you also have the shorts. And I think, like you're saying, they're going to do some strikes. It's going to drop the market. And then probably within a few days, because, you know, when we brought up earlier, Colonel, there are no ground forces. We do not have a mass amount of U.S. ground forces in the region. We have enough to defend the bases and that type of thing, but we don't have anybody where we could launch them in a full-scale attack on multiple targets. We don't have that. So this is just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems to me also that if you got the State of the Union, you know, wouldn't Trump, you know, being his typical self, wouldn't he want to have to be able to say, look at what we just did in the last few days right before the State of the Union, you know, we just took out Iran, or that's what he thinks he's going to do, you know, but.
Nah, we can't occupy Iran. We can't even occupy a city block. Nice try with that.
Right. No, I agree with you. I think that they may be selling it to him that way. It could be he's doing the State of the Union and Iran just sunk a carrier, you know. I wouldn't want to be in Trump's shoes in that case.
Yeah, me neither. That'd be mostly bad. So, yeah, Pete?
More food, more ammo, more meds,
exactly.
More friends. This isn't ending. This is going to be awful. And the more we can help the people who are more than a little wobbly, that's how I'm going to spend my week for the next 7 days.
Long shot.
Next chance.
Yeah, I'm in there with Pete. You know, it's going to be rough. The clown show is going to be clowning along, and there's not much we can do about it. So.
I mean, they need a distraction. They got to do something to get people off of Epstein.
Epstein, I mean, you know, Somalia, you know.
Everything.
Skinnyapolis, all of it. I mean, you know, the short-term memory is so fucking bad, you know. And it's one shitbag show on top of another. And nothing ever really gets done other than, ha 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 ha, look what we're doing. Fuck you. You can't do shit. So, you know, keep your circle tight. Keep your powder dry.
Very true. Very true.
You know what I would say, Colonel? I would say, you know, obviously it's probably this weekend. The State of the Union is Tuesday. You know, that gives them what, at least 24 hours to formulate a message Monday morning, to inform the American people and the world what they just, you know, what's just transpired, and try to shape messaging. So yep. I would say probably Sunday, and then Monday morning, they come out, they start releasing statements. There'll be initial statements, obviously, after it happens. But I think Monday morning is when they would come out official. You know, you'll have Leavitt out there at the podium giving official briefs. And then on Tuesday, the president comes out for his State of the Union.
Yeah, but who knows if it's real, right? That's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. Who knows if it's real? And the other part of it, too, is, you know, we won't, there's no way to verify any of it. It's just like the B2 strikes on the nuclear sites, right? Yeah, there's a deep hole in the ground. Okay, it could have been us, could have been the Israelis, could have been a C-130 that dropped a Moab, could have been a drone, it could have been anything. But no, that was a B2. Trust me, bro. Trust me. Yeah.
That's my favorite is the undescribed B2 overhead shot. It was that guy.
Oh, look, there he is right there. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that bullshit. Yeah, that's bullshit. Okay. I'll be back this weekend. I'm going to be doing a show on Sunday. I'm going to try and pin down Colonel Watkins to do his show. I want to try and do a roundtable. So look for that. I'll post the next couple of shows. I'll post them onto Substack so you can see them out there. If you are a Substack subscriber, a paid subscriber, you will get this initially, front, back, and then this year, these go out next month. So paid subscribers, you're going to get 2 coins. If you don't already have the green one, you'll get the blue one. The guys in the show are going to be wearing the dark gray polo with the gold. Those will go out next month. So look for all that. Until Tuesday or Sunday, one of those 2 days, God bless. One team, one fight.
One team, one fight.